Podcast of BehindSpaceMusic.com. I'm your host, Jeffrey Jackson. Here with me is my co-host.
What's up, Aaron Salazar?
And today we're joined by our good friend and host of HaitiCast. It's Michael Patrick Harriman.
Michael Patrick Harriman. Dude, you stole it. I was going to say my middle name, too.
I got to introduce you, man. Yeah. I know how it's introduced on the show.
So. Oh, yeah. Good stuff, yeah. I don't ever like put my middle name in anything, but thought it was catchy.
I usually go by Jeff Jackson to all my friends, and then I throw Jeffrey Jackson out there to the rest of the world.
Oh, that's good.
And then when the outside world contacts me, I know who's contacting me by what name they're calling me usually.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I usually get called out on the streets all the time. You know, yeah. I'm a celebrity in town. So
you gotta wear sunglasses and hats when he goes out.
Well, especially in Aaron, too. Aaron's got it.
It's like the old Beatles video when everybody's chasing when they gotta hide in the phone booth.
Yeah.
We do that all the time.
Aaron dresses up like Tootsie when we go out.
Yeah. And then when I have to buy something, I take off the nose slowly, took off the hair. You guys never seen Tootsie?
I just referenced it, asshole. Don't say
I thought you just referenced the name.
No, I'm looking at him blankly. I think that's what I asked. Yeah. But don't you call me Mikey?
Yeah, I think
everybody calls you Mikey.
Yeah.
I think, do your family call you Mike?
I don't know. I don't think so. My mom might.
Your dad definitely calls you Michael.
Yeah, I get a Michael from him.
Because I've heard that scary noise come from wherever it does come
from. And then I was a Mike like all the way through high school and then through college. And then I became Mikey. In the workforce, like when I would work in a restaurant, and there'd be a Mike, Michael, a Miguel, a Michelle, or something, and I'd just have to pick Mikey. I would just defer down to Mikey, but it's cool. Yeah.
Aaron, what about you? Nicknames? You got any, dude?
Aaron, Aaron from mainly you.
Yeah, but you hate that. I just call you Aaron. I don't know why I call you Aaron. I'm not even.
Are you shorter?
Oh no, the reason I call you Aaron is because I used to yell to you and I'd be like, "Hey, Ron!"
Alright.
And it became a thing. Yeah, to when like I started texting you and
put your name in the phone. I've had salad bar my whole life.
That's just something you get with Salazar, man.
Yeah, I know.
Damn you, Salazar!
I had that in elementary school, totally separate. I moved to a separate town, nobody knew anybody. I got that in middle school. Moved to a high school where nobody else knew me except for like one or two people. I got Salabar again.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally separate. So, like, the school playground mentality went all the way up to high school.
Absolutely. We had the people that were named Salazar in our school.
And at Poway, my brother Adam got that the whole time, too.
Yeah, I believe it.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, really.
Well, but it just sounds the same, man.
Yeah. But were you going to make fun of me by calling me a salad bar?
No, I mean... It's not really.
I think you can outgrow salad.
It's bar. Obviously affected you, sir. So.
It annoyed me after a while because it wasn't original.
It's stayed with you this long.
If they're making shit up as they go along, you know, I can live with that. But it was kind of hacky.
All right, so let's move along with the show.
Wait, my last name, I got to talk about it real quick. My last name is Harriman, and I would get Harryman and Harryman all the time. And then I think that's why I have a beard now, is because I want to be like a hairy man.
My family's
part American Indian, so they don't grow like the hair on the face or the chest.
Living up to your name?
Yeah, so now I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to pull the Mexican out, I guess. Or I get heroin.
Heroin?
Yeah.
But, well, that matches your beard a little more.
Like a
little patchy.
Hero.
I get it too, man. My stuff doesn't grow in right either, man. It's all good. All right. I get it all patchy. Aaron grows in.
I get the full. I grew a beard a couple weeks ago. for like maybe 2.5 weeks. It got unwieldy.
How long did that take to grow? Like 5 minutes?
Yeah, pretty much. But if I don't shave for 5 days, you're gonna notice it. But I got like scars. And I was talking to Mikey earlier. I found a gray hair in my beard.
Oh, dude, I've got a few. Oh, man. I've got a few.
It's bad.
You know, that's when you know it's bad, is when they move down from your head hair.
Yeah, well, yeah, my head's good. Yeah. My head's all good. I haven't seen any.
That's surprising, man. I've got a bunch in my hair. I'm the youngest one in the group.
Stress. It's stress, man. You watch out.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Knock some stress out. Take it out.
Guys, I quit. I can't do the show anymore.
So stressful.
Me.
Stressing me out. Alright, so music news, we got a new sponsor. So
you wanna take that?
Yeah, along with DFTA clothing.
Yeah, we talked about that many times in the past.
We've got Art for Music signing on. It's artformusic.org. They're gonna be doing our artwork from now on, so we'll be giving them a mention here and there on the podcast.
Yeah, they're doing it for our album, our new album coming out, plus the podcast. So when you guys download the podcast, for all those listening, we're going to have new artwork for you, and it's going to be a little spiffy.
Yeah, nice and free.
Yep.
So other than that, we are working on a new recording schedule so that we can bring out the music a little bit quicker. We've been lagging.
Yeah.
Which is our way, but it's all right.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the way our schedules match up, we can only have, like, little pockets of space.
Yeah. Well, and I'm busy. I've got a lot of stuff going on with the band, too.
Exactly.
So, excuse.
Yeah, no, we try to pack it all in. So what we're going to try to do is get a steady recording schedule together so that we can get this stuff done. And
next thing you know, we're going to start wearing suits to make music.
Now that's pushing it a
little. I'm going to start wearing a tie. All the old engineers in the 60s used to wear ties and suits and shit when they did their stuff.
If you'd like to dress up, you feel free, sir.
Cool.
The other thing is Divided by Design. I want to give them a plug because we got our album out on iTunes now. I know we've talked about it in the past that it's been up on the website and stuff, but it's available on iTunes, Amazon. What's the other streaming site?
Spotify. What's the other? Moog. M-O-G.
I don't know. If you can't find it on those main sites.
It's everywhere, pretty much.
Yeah, go check it out. And if you can't afford it and you can't spend the $4, then at least give us a good iTunes review. It's free.
Oh, actually, if you stream it, you get paid.
Well, you can listen to it for free at our website, and then just go give us a review. Because the more reviews we get, the higher we go up on the chart, and then people can take notice, and then we'll get sales.
Exactly, because if people see that people review it, they'll be inclined to listen.
Yeah, and hopefully saying that the music is good, that is.
Well, that's assuming that.
Yeah, exactly.
But so, I think we all know in this room that the music is good.
Hopefully.
Correct?
Dude, your music rocks.
I think it's a bit of shit.
No, it's freaking amazing.
That's what the British said. The British said it was a bit of shit.
And, I think they said shite.
Wait.
And then another reviewer said it's like reading a newspaper. Those are outstanding reviews.
That's,
so
well, that's a well, read, well, that's assuming you don't like reading the newspaper. So I guess it's a pro.
Yeah, maybe
so it depends.
Maybe they're saying that your music is for old people.
Maybe, but I don't know. You decide and go review and check out the music and help us out.
It's like reading the newspaper, really?
Yeah.
What section of the newspaper?
I should have written the
art section, classifieds.
And not to say we haven't gotten good reviews. We've gotten good reviews. It's just the bad ones tend to stick out.
Yeah, but
of course. It takes 1 in 100, right?
But you would rather have that than indifference.
Well, I like to know what people think.
Exactly,
know?
But...
Yeah. Criticism's criticism.
People to be serious and honest about what they have.
But if someone says, "Oh, it's all right," I hate that shit.
Yeah,
it's okay, you know.
Yeah,
it's like I hate it.
What are you saying?
I'd rather have the negative or the positive. At least the negative, I can at least learn from it and laugh at myself. Because ego wise, I don't care. But the indifference, you don't know what they mean, or literally your shit's mediocre.
Yeah, well,
because artists.
What if they write, "Yeah, it's all right. Your shit's mediocre."
Well, that's a little bit more negative.
but what they're saying is it's right in the middle. It's
art should piss people off, really. Not all people, obviously. You don't want to be fucking punk bands, but
why not?
I don't know. It's supposed to be confrontational, revolutionary, whatever you want to call it. It's not supposed to please everybody. Unless you're like Britney Spears or something.
Yeah. We're definitely taking a little bit more of an artistic spin in our music, so.
I like that. It's good.
Yeah. Speaking of an artistic spin, and since Mike's here, Mike and I talked a little bit earlier. Is that beer number what, Aaron?
Three.
Beer number three. So. Already. We're one away from Blast Off.
We're doing a two-parter, so this is going to be ridiculous.
good thing we got enough in the fridge.
Yeah.
But like I was saying, we're going to be writing a Haiti song. So,
yes.
Yeah.
We want to use some of the samples that you've recorded down there in Haiti and try to bring it into
the music. Yeah,
because... Sweet, yeah.
You want to talk about what we're going to use, like how you incorporated it in yours?
Oh, yeah. I just had a guide down there. His name was Tejo. He was pretty good. He spoke pretty good English. But the night I was leaving, we drank a little bit. We had some rum. And he just wanted to talk about, wanted to send a final message out to America. So it was like after a long night of like enjoying... You know, ourselves and our big goodbye, and then like the rum was talking a little bit, so he was kind of pleading, but it's really heartfelt, and I don't know, it's pretty raw. I dig it, and you kind of get a feel for like the way they talk. They kind of talk in code a lot, in a lot of metaphor.
And we're gonna get into all the Haiti stuff in a second, but like,
yeah.
But like, you know, really, what we want to do is kind of. What you're about to hear on the podcast and stuff is really why we're going to write this song. We're friends with Mike, and his trip down there has been really influential to me, and there's a lot of stuff that I'd like to write out lyrically and musically. It'd just be fun to write something for them, to have something to go out to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll probably just put it out there for free. It's not going to be anything that we're going to throw on the album or anything, but... Something that we can put together and have ready for you to send or you know send with you when you go back over there.
Yeah, so. I know they're all about music down there, so that's such a good gift.
I like it too. Well, that's the one thing I want to talk to you when we start doing the song, like Haitian, quote unquote Haitian music. I want to kind of see what they got going on down there to try to incorporate that music.
Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah,
like, just in his video on YouTube.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Let's get into that. Let's stop talking about the song and burying right. the lead.
Oh, we've already tangented.
Yeah, we're burying the lead, man. So let's just get into our guest and start talking about Haiti, man. You just got back from a crazy trip, and you have a whole podcast. We've talked about it on the show a few times.
Yeah.
So how's your trip, man?
It was awesome. It was really cool. I just got back less than a week ago. I was down there for 5 weeks. And so I'm pretty much just trying to reintegrate back into American society. Because definitely coming back is a lot crazier than actually going down there. Like, we live right next to Mexico. we know our ways around Mexico. We've had good times down there. But, so we kind of have a taste of that third world country. That, like, the kids begging on the street and everything. And just the huge potholes in the ground. And it's just, you got to watch yourself and... You know, your mind on your money and your money in your shoe type deal.
Yeah, well, it's pretty diverse over here, but I mean, and maybe up in LA, you're, you know, the white man's kind of the minority up there.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Yeah.
What, you know, and not to be, you know, like
elitist.
You're the only white dude out there, you know. And it's not Mexican dudes who are kind of light skinned. It's all. People with dark skin. And
well, everybody.
You're bright white.
I am
white,
the white guy. And I went down there by myself.
So how does that
everything.
Feel, man? Like, you just... Like,
it's
how does
cool.
that feel?
Actually, they really... It's... I hate to be that guy, but they really lift me up. And they, Like, one of my stories is I went into this hospital and, like, my guide walked right up to the front. There's a line of people. And he walked right up to the front. He's like, I'm with the white guy. Like, I need help right away. And there's like 40 people in the waiting room outside. And then we go inside like right away. They take all my information. We go inside, and then there's another waiting room full of people, and I just go right up to the front. They take my blood pressure, my temperature, my weight, and next doctor that gets available, I go right in and I talk to him. So, like, I bypass everybody. So
what do you think that is?
It's just the way...
like, obviously, that's the culture, there's a cultural issue.
They think that we're probably... They're the benefactors of the white people. Like, if any money really comes into Haiti, it usually comes from a white person.
They're going to want to take care of you.
And they're going to really want to represent well. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But also, they don't see white people as...
it's integrated in the culture from these things.
Well, they're the only successful black slave revolt ever. They kicked out the French. But who came into power after that was the mulatto people, or the half black and half white. And basically, they kind of have a cultural issue or whatever, where the lighter the skin, the better off you are. Like, if you're out working in the sugarcane field all day and you're in the sun, then you get pretty dark. And you probably don't have a very good job. But if you're sitting at a desk, you know, the light of the skin, you're not in the sun all day. Hmm. And then it just kind of moves up from there. So me being like a white guy, like down there, just kind of gives a different aura. They see me as a dollar sign, which totally sucks on a lot of notes. But it's does help me out.
They treat you fairly well.
They treat me very, very well. Yeah.
But then you also got to watch out too.
Yeah, right? Because they think I'm the dollar sign. Exactly. Yeah. And the only English they know is, like, give me $1.
So there's a lot of defense that you kind of have to...
Oh, yeah, I always walk around with my knife on my belt all the time and just...
Well, not so much, like, physical, but I'm saying, like, verbally defensive, like, on a regular basis, right? You're probably turning people down. I mean, you were there...
Oh, I didn't give anything away. The policy of the foundation was to teach a man to fish, not give a man a fish. A lot of organizations will go down there and then give them, like, food and water. I mean... Those are important, and like build houses and give them clothes, and it's very important, but it's not sustainable for the people. All they're seeing is us coming and just pouring money into the company. We're not actually building the company up from the ground. So the foundation spends a lot of money on this school, and I have the school that's the eighth best school in all of Haiti, and it's pretty sweet. And I was just able to go down there and teach music and, like, build them up from the
bottom.
There
to share the knowledge.
Exactly. I wasn't there to give away things. So people would come up to me and ask me for things, and I just was, you know, I always had to say no.
So did you...
I could not give away.
Did you build up a reputation of, like, you know, at least towards the end of your stay there, were people still coming up to you on a regular basis, or did you build up a reputation as this person who's there to help and a person of, like, kind of, I'm from here?
Exactly, because I went down there and I worked for free. Like, okay. I did not go down there and, I sold my van. I basically sold everything I had to pay for the plane ticket for me to get down there. And for all the medications, all my creature comforts. Like, I had to be prepared for 5 weeks of a country that, like, I just had to be prepared. And that's
I mean, you cover all that stuff in, like, episode one of your podcast, but just go over, like, some of the medications that you had to take. How many different things did you have to take?
antibiotic, like a really strong, like, intestinal antibiotic. I had to take down, like, some heavy doses because they got some crazy stuff in the food and the water that I could pick up. And then I had to take an anti-malaria pill. It's funny because I just know that we've kind of touched on this. And this anti-malaria pill that I took, I just read on the internet, actually, that they or stop issuing this to the military because of what it does.
Oh, no. We have talked about it on the show, so people do know it fucks you up.
Yeah, I was having just these crazy dreams, so crazy that they were, like, merging with reality, and I would wake up and I could recall every detail, and I can still, when I think back on it, like, remember even, like, the setting of the room, the lighting, just everything. Wow. And it was just as vivid or more vivid than reality. And I'd wake up and and one of the other effects is, like, an extreme paranoia. I would have, thoughts, like, depressing thoughts and stuff like that. And that's not me at all. I don't like to try and, like, be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. And especially, like, in a fourth world country, you know, you don't want to be thinking, like, this like have being paranoid about the world. So that drug, the Larium, is actually why I went to that. It was an anti-malaria pill, so you take it so you don't get malaria. But because I was going so crazy from it, that's why I went to the hospital.
Yeah.
So come full circle. Okay. That's why, because I wanted to change my medication out from Larium. But the doctor there said that I wasn't going to get, they didn't have preventative drugs for Larium, but they have, if I catch malaria, then they could help treat me then. I was like, all right.
Well, those things must have been pretty crazy then, huh? Like the dreams and stuff must have been that bad for you to have to go and stop and get on something else.
Yeah, I sent out this email.
It's a little more testy.
Dude, I'm sorry to talk over you. Yeah, I'm just like,
no,
I'm on it.
No, yeah.
I totally lost it.
You lost it?
I was on it.
No, I fell off it. No, I'm just saying,
it must
have been a lot for you to have gone and gotten that other medication, you know?
Yeah. What set it off was I sent out this email to one of the foundation, the guy who I'm in direct contact with. He wrote back to me, like, right away. He's like, that's Larium talking. I know what you're going through. You need to stop the medication. And it was this, like, extremely paranoid email about censorship. I thought I was being censored in my podcast because a lot of it's pretty raw, and it's just what's going on. And I thought that I had said the wrong thing, and so they were, like, stopping the internet from me, and, like, people were, like, being really shady and talking behind my back and everything. I was just, like... It was straight. Looking back, definitely 2020 vision, and I was just like, "Oh, going so nuts." It was.
That's terrible.
So I just had to like stop it, and then I mean, what do you do to try and like suppress dreams?
Yeah,
it was like a crazy situation. So, you know, a little bit of rum, a little bit of brouhaha or whatever I could get. Moonshine. We drank a lot of moonshine. Oh, this stuff is crazy.
Jeez, man. It's a crazy idea, you know, in my opinion, to even go down there. But what you're doing is definitely...
Well, I went alone. I think that's the craziest part. It's just like going down there and being like, all right, sink or swim. I sold everything I own.
Yeah.
Like, I can't fail.
Aaron, you want to go down to Haiti, dude?
I'm down.
Hey, wait, if I go back in January, it'll be... Wow, we've been talking for a long time.
No, dude, that's bars. That's not
time. All right, good. I totally rambled. But if I go down in January, I'll be down. I'm trying to go down for 6 more months, and we'll start another season.
That'll be like 2 seasons.
Yeah, another 2 seasons.
Another season of Haiti Cast.
Well, it would probably...
On iTunes and Stitcher.
I look forward. If I'm down there for 6 months, dude, get yourself down there. Come visit me. You'll have a place in my place. I'm supposed to be, my idea, so I'm trying to get into a nice place that I'll have either to myself or have, like, another family live with me.
If you go back, you gonna stay for a long time?
Yeah.
Yeah, how long?
6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. To finish
Holy
out the school
crap,
year. That's
man.
The idea. But I think if you stay over, like, 3 or 4, you gotta get, like, a real visa.
It's gonna be a long season of Haiti Cast, dude.
So yeah, the next one, like,
are you going down with the foundation? Like, they have their own, they have their set thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm totally jumping the gun right now.
Oh, I know the first time, because I know initially you were going to go down with them, but then they moved their stuff back, so you just went by yourself.
Yeah.
So I know, but are they? So they're going in January.
Yeah. Well, there's a chapel that's being dedicated to, like, my church here, the one that I go to is St. Michael's, and they. Have donated a lot of money for this chapel to be built down there, and they are going to go down for a dedication of the chapel. So they're gonna like hang the bell and paint the outside of the church.
Cut the red ribbon with the
best
scissors.
Cut the ribbon, yeah. It's gonna be sweet.
That is pretty cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be fun. That'd be good times.
Yeah.
I'm stoked on it.
Wow, man.
But hopefully I can be down there for 6 months and just go nuts.
I couldn't even imagine.
It's crazy. It's totally wild. And you know what? It's like totally addicting too, because they really have nothing. And I like that, because I don't want things. Like, the best thing in life is not a thing. You know, it's a It's not something you can hold in your hands. That's why we love music. His music is not something you can hold in your hands. It's,
yeah. Well, we talk a lot on this podcast about leaving your mark, you know, and
legacy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I kind of had this opinion back in, I won't say back in the day, but semi-recently that, you know, it was kind of like a man-driven thing. Like, it was in men to just, you know, leave their mark on this earth, you know, but, like, it's really become more apparent to me that, like, just anybody, I mean, like, women too, like, any person, no matter what, wants to leave their mark on this world in one way or another. It's just, and so, it's become fascinating to, like, kind of look at people in that way, and that, like, try to figure out what their mark's gonna be, if any, you know, because obviously there's people in this world that don't leave a mark, and
yeah, totally.
And then there are people that, you know, stay here for short periods and leave huge gashes, you know, versus marks, you know.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting concept to think about, but yeah. When you look at people and obviously Aaron and I want to leave our mark, and
that's why we're doing what you're doing, like you said about music, about how you can't hold it in your hand. That's kind of what you're doing. It's kind of something bigger than yourself, or bigger than, I don't know, you're doing it for not a specific purpose. Like, oh, I'm going to do this to do this. You're, like, doing this to do this, and then it kind of just spreads out. You're, like, putting it out there and let people take it. Dude, you don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
It could be there. People are going to find it, you know, 100 years in the future. Who knows? Same thing with, you know, ragtime music, or that crazy music they used to record on the plastic spools back in the day. People are just going to find it. People found an old recording from the medieval times.
Really?
Yeah, it was an accident, because when you they had a rake on a big spool, mm-hmm. and they were talking next to it, and when the rake vibrates from the voice, it goes back and forth like a record needle. So they got the recording thing out and they played it back, and they actually heard medieval people talking.
Wow.
Yeah. So if it's awesome. Like it's shit like that. You know.
I've seen that thing online. I don't remember it exactly like that, but I remember something similar to
that. It's like the first official recording device from like the late 1800s.
Of course you would know that.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, man. Let's move on to the next thing. Let's go into currents, because right now it's Thanksgiving.
What's not with you, Ben? Thanksgiving.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, we gotta eat a lot of food in 2 days.
What's your guys' preferred food at Thanksgiving?
Turkey's always good.
Well, of course. But I'm saying, like, every family kind of has that thing that they incorporate in their meal.
We have a lot of stuffing.
That's a little different. You love your stuffing.
My mom makes oyster stuffing, which is weird to say.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Every family's got something kind of different.
It tastes dank as hell.
Yeah?
Yeah, thing is, like, not all of our family likes it, because, like we were just saying, it kind of, like, oysters, because when they cook the oysters. But it just tastes so good, just the consistency. And my mom's cooking some things with bacon and ham, stuff like that. But it's usually turkey stuffing, mashed potatoes, greens, nice. Stock stuff.
Yeah, I'm mashed potatoes all the way. Grandma's mashed potatoes, or anybody's mashed potatoes. Oh, I could sit in a bathtub full of them and eat my way out.
What do you put on your mashed potatoes?
Butter and salt, man. Heart attack.
No gravy? You don't gravy?
No, I'm not a gravy dude.
I like to make the volcano with, like, you cover it up with the volcano, you know, you put the gravy in the middle of the, you cover it up, and then when you spoon it, it, like, spills out the side.
I like mixing everything with the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the stuffings. Put it all in one big pile, and then
turkey with mashed potatoes on
perfect.
It.
Perfect.
Mm.
I used to.
What about you? Any family? Any meal
My mom makes a mean mashed potato.
Yeah,
and your mashed potato, I think her gravy is very unique too. Okay. I don't know how she does it, but yeah. And I don't know. There's nothing like Mama's cooking, though. I could just name everything that is made there, and I'll be like, it's awesome. She gets the Hawaiian rolls. She cranberry. I don't know what brand cranberries is. Just delicious.
Nice.
But I love it. Yeah.
Nice.
Everything. Because when you go and eat with, like, another family's Thanksgiving, it's like they just, like, something's off. You're like, I really get into this, but the gravy's not right.
Now you're freaking me out, man.
Chicken gravy and not turkey gravy, and it's all watery. I don't know.
You're freaking me out, man. I'm going to a new Thanksgiving this year.
Oh, snap. You better be careful.
I'm a little...
No twice-baked potatoes.
Nah, man. I'm going to, going over to my girlfriend's family's house this year, so it's gonna be a little different. But hopefully it'll be cool.
I think Thanksgiving dinner is the one that people pretty much go stock on.
Yeah, well,
it's pretty stock.
We're bringing our stuff.
Okay,
you know, so like at least we'll have some of grandma's.
We were saying earlier today how like people on Christmas are starting to put rump roasts on. For that, they're not doing the turkey. I think Thanksgiving is like, it's turkey, it's stuffing, it's mashed potatoes, it's greens, it's cranberries.
Is Christmas turkey?
I used to.
Christmas has always been ham in my family.
Really?
Yeah.
We've done turkey.
Turkey, huh?
Yeah, we've done turkey. Yeah.
I know a lot of people that do turkey, but like...
Yeah. Our family just started doing roasts, like beef. Which I'll eat all
day. I love beef, man.
You can't go wrong with that.
No.
Yeah, I'm not much for the Christmas ham necessarily, but yeah, we usually do that.
I want to see the turducken.
Inside
a turkey, and no way, it's a chicken inside a duck inside a turkey.
So yeah.
It's a turducken, and then there's stuffing in between each layer, and they debone the whole thing so you can just slice it. Oh.
I want to try a deep fried turkey.
This show is not for PETA.
Dude, my brother just had a pre Thanksgiving thing at our family house, and he brought like 30 of his friends, which I don't know how he pulled that shit off. But they deep fried a turkey in the middle of our street because they had nowhere else to cook it.
Yeah, you got to do it out in the street though. You can't put that. We had somebody. Deep fried in the middle of our apartment complex 2 or 3 years ago when we were living in certain
places. Oil go everywhere or something? Or
no, it's just that? In case, you know, just in case it decides to.
Yeah.
Because there's always...
You throw the frozen one in there and it blows up.
Yeah.
It just shoots up in the air.
I'll just pour some water in here to fill it up. But, yeah, Thanksgiving. Anything else current?
Dude.
I don't know. Really, there hasn't been much going on.
I think day to day, day in, day out, we're all good. You have a show on Friday.
Yeah, but I don't think this podcast will even be out by then, will it?
Yeah. I'm going to do this tomorrow.
All right.
Bada-bing.
All right. So you have your show on Friday.
Happy Thanksgiving, bitches.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Let's do it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Alright,
make your girlfriends eat pumpkin pie. I heard this because pumpkin pie
is an aphrodisiac.
Makes girlfriends, girls, 30% or 30-something% more horny.
No way.
Nice.
Yeah.
Alright, guys.
Get down on pumpkin pie.
Every day now.
Yep.
Be like, hey girl, I brought you some pumpkin pie.
That's right.
Some whipped cream.
And it's not too fattening either. You know what I mean? So it's like, two good things right there.
Oh, I have my 10-year reunion this week.
Yeah, are you going to that?
Yeah, why not? It's unofficial and it's at a bar, so it's not exactly cool. We're not guaranteed that everybody got the messages. It's done through Facebook, so who the fuck knows?
Okay,
but it should be interesting. And then we have a separate one because since we went to an old boys Catholic school, it's a bunch of dudes. So it's kind of weird. We have another one separate that has all the Catholic schools, so the all girls school and all that stuff. All
right,
so it's not kind of sausage fest at a bar, getting drunk. It's kind of
stupid. Well, both sound pretty fun.
I'm gonna go to both and get drunk at both. So
it's nice. Cool. And that's coming up next week, is it?
This week. I have the big one with all the schools is tomorrow night, and then my 10 years on Saturday.
So, and this podcast is coming out tomorrow.
Yep, I'll do it during the day, man. I got nothing to do tomorrow. I have to get a haircut tomorrow. There's news for you.
Where are you going to get a haircut at?
Yeah, there's some mom and pop's place down the street.
Oh,
here's news. We're recording at a new place.
Oh, yeah. Where are we recording, Aaron?
We're recording at my...
Gotta drop the location.
Apartment in Ocean Beach, right on the water.
And you're going to... Right, like, at this point, or at least around this point, we're going to have some sounds of waves that Aaron's going to record later on.
I'm just going to... when we're done, I'm just going to pick up the mic and just walk outside.
Yeah, right. You're just going to get a sound bite off YouTube or something. Yeah, that's cool.
Dude, don't turn back but the curtain, man.
fourth wall,
man.
All right. Cut the commercial.
Welcome to Jim Bob Cuts Designs, Features, Food, and Haircuts with our beautiful, luxurious new facilities, including
ivory hairbrushes,
cool koozie wet spa attachment,
foosball with lotion,
floor puffs, jack with jiggly puffs. With our new fashion designers and haircutters, Patrice,
Darius,
This is all
Johnny Tucum,
Grandma O'Leary.
Monday through Friday,
closed every day from 4:19 to 4:21.
Don't worry about it, we're busy.
To come get your hair did.
It's fun.
Cheap.
Kind of crazy.
Easy.
Chummy.
Natural.
Kind of rapey.
Really rapey.
A lot of laughing.
Which one's this like?
We're back.
I just wanted to join you when you said, hey!
You want to do it one more time?
Yeah.
All right, ready?
Wait, hold on. You go, hey, I go, you go low, I go mid.
Okay.
And we're back. And hope you guys go get your hair did at the beautiful place that Aaron's going to get his hair did.
It's me sweet.
I'll be interested to see if you get the Jeffrey curl.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, from what I hear, they might like force some stuff on you, so I gotta be careful.
I think it's safe. So let's move on to the next section of the podcast. Possibly the second part of the podcast. I don't know where we're at.
Yeah, it's like one third.
All right. So in my opinion, this is the second half of the podcast. If you're just joining us...
It's the second half of the first
then
half.
Then fuck you for not listening to the first half.
Yeah, why'd you skip? It's like not that cool to skip around podcasts.
Just listen to the first half. That's like starting a show. When you start a show, in the beginning... You gotta start in the beginning, or how are you gonna get the context of the jokes?
Exactly. You
it's
need
so
the full story.
Fucking stupid.
We're not fucking 2.5 men where you can jump in any time and you can get it. This is like the podcast equivalent of The Wire. To put it kind of blunt, I should really throw myself out a window for saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
All right.
Anyway.
Later, Aaron.
Nothing.
No, they skipped ahead because I just talked about crazy shit. I would have skipped ahead. Let's talk about cool shit.
All right, we're getting into movies, TV, music. Video games, all that stuff.
Yeah. Entertainment in general.
Yeah.
Or art in general. I don't think we've seen any paintings lately. Have anyone seen
them? I'm so excited that like video games are back in my world again. We haven't talked about them on the podcast in forever, but I finally got my PS3 fixed and it's finally working again, and I got Call of Duty, so.
You're probably deep into that right now.
Dude, I've just been set.
Playing the campaign, or are you...
I played like the first couple levels of campaign, but that was after many hours of multiplayer. So
that's where the fun is.
Yeah,
I've heard you can rail through the campaign in like 6 hours.
Yeah, you can, but that's also 6 hours of level up time in multiplayer.
There you go. You gotta know where your bread is, buddy.
I got the golden gun.
What are you, motherfucker? You playing Odd Job? What are you doing?
It's actually a really cool game. I don't know if it's very... I don't know. If you have Black Ops and you're trading it in to get that game, I don't know if I would advise to do that. I would say maybe, like, keep Black Ops and play that game, maybe. Like, I don't know, Black Ops is a pretty cool game.
How big was the jump of multiplayer was it from Black Ops to Modern Warfare?
The thing is that the jump comes from, like, Modern Warfare 2 to Modern Warfare 3.
Because of the way the studios work.
Yeah, so, yeah. And, like, Black Ops is not in the equation at all, so Black Ops is a new thing in itself, so, like, I don't know, it brought a lot into the game that was a lot of fun, and you kind of were expecting that to continue on in Modern Warfare 3.
Well, because I was working in Activision when Black Ops came out, and Black Ops and Modern Warfare, the whole series, it's totally separate. Different studios, different buildings, different development companies.
Yeah.
And then from Modern Warfare 2 to Modern Warfare 3, they had a total overhaul with their staff.
Yeah.
So that's might be what you're talking about.
Well, but it's just the
continuity is kind of strained, even though they have the larger umbrella.
Yeah, if people don't know what's going on, yeah, that's what's going on. But, like, overall, it's a good game. Like, obviously, it's filling the void, and I traded in all my old games and stuff and got that.
And it might be a warm-up period, too, where you're going to learn.
Exactly.
I'm like that with music, movies, whatever, or TV. Not movies, because you'll see a movie once, but, like, TV shows or music, I'll warm up to it. Like, the first couple episodes, I'm like, it's all right. And then it kind of gets the ball rolling, and it gets better and better, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of badass video games that are coming out, and I'm glad I finally got my PlayStation working. I don't know if you saw it yet, but there's a new GTA trailer out.
I saw that.
Finally, man. I've been waiting for so long.
See, no, I need that hook, though. I need something to grab me. Like, if that hook's not there with, like, a TV show or especially a movie or a book, like, if I don't get the book in, like, 2 or 3 pages, like, I'll put it down and never pick it up. I need that hook. Like, you got that online.
Yeah.
You definitely, like, that hooks you right away. You're like, oh, I love this game. It's got really all these cool maps and get you involved. I need that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm stoked, and finally, like, I don't know when I think GTA is coming out in another year?
About, I think it's fall of next year.
Probably. It should be good.
Set in LA.
Yeah, well, and it's more or less an updated version of San Andreas.
Yeah, from what San Andreas was polarizing.
They're hiding some stuff in the trailer, but,
like, yeah,
obviously there's a lot of similarities. I heard CJ's even in the game.
Yeah, I think it's not based off of, like, an up-and-coming guy. It's based off of an established guy who's trying to get away and stuff like that. So that might be interesting.
Somebody who's already in the series?
No, he's somebody that's already in... There you go. Somebody that's already in the life, and he's already been successful.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of the time, the story.
Yeah, but by, like, Vice City and Liberty City, or GTA 3, and then GTA 4... Even to a certain extent, San Andreas, they're all trying to work themselves up to being big.
Yeah.
The guy in 5 has already been big, and he's trying to get out of the life. So that's a different dynamic they're working with.
Yeah, I guess so. I thought GTA 4 was more like he was moving into America to get away from that life, and then moved into... And then, you know, that was the story.
He was searching out the American dream, quote unquote.
Yeah, but the thing is that, like, he was moving out of that aggressive life that he was leading, and, like, he ended up living the same life here.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But anyway, Skyrim's out. That's a huge geek game.
I've heard it's pretty good.
If you're a geek, then you're definitely probably not listening to this podcast. You're playing Skyrim.
Yeah.
And like, anybody who's a fan of, like, EverQuest or WoW or any of those massive multiplayer online games, like, this is the ultimate fucking game for you. Like, go out, fight dragons, cast spells, do your thing.
What's it called?
Like,
Skyrim?
Skyrim.
Skyrim.
I'm surprised. Oh, you've been in Haiti. don't play this game, or else you probably won't go back.
You know, I've had some pretty intense addiction problems with online role playing games. I gotta choose my battles. I'm not gonna lie.
This is gonna be that game for a lot of people.
Yeah,
so.
Right. That's good stuff.
Yeah,
that's good to see those games come out. I'm not trying to knock them, because they're a ton of fun. And the storyline, it's, like, really sweet, and you get to your avatar.
I love RPGs. I'll never play them because I know how addicting just RPGs are, and they're huge and long, and I can never imagine playing an What are they?
MMORG.
Massively multiplayer
online role-playing game RPG.
MMORPG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of weird. I mean, if
welcome to G4. You had a game you want to talk about.
Yeah, I was talking. Well, it's kind of in the same vein of World of Warcraft because it's the same company. It's StarCraft, which I don't know what came first, Warcraft or StarCraft?
Ooh.
StarCraft came out in 98.
But Warcraft came out as a game kind of like StarCraft where you had different factions.
But they had Warcraft. I think Warcraft, there's Warcraft 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. Those are just like you build up your civilization and fight others.
Exactly.
Just kind of like StarCraft. StarCraft is
it's a real-time
Warcraft
strategy.
Warcraft is a fantasy, like a fantasy land.
Yeah, well, StarCraft's like that. It's build your own, not civilization, but you build your own community, but it's an army game, so you build units, go kill the other guy.
Yeah, there's different factions.
Huge in, like, other countries.
Korea, it's like the national sport of Korea.
Yeah.
Or it's like second to soccer.
StarCraft is, yeah. And they've taken a ton of time to come out with StarCraft 2.
Oh, it's from 98 to 2010. Was the length between
taking
games.
It really seriously?
Exactly,
yeah.
And but, I mean they had an expansion in between that, but it was like not 2000 or something like that. But they're like methodical because it's like any other art, like you're saying about Skyrim, it's so exact with the fans. They have to have everything on.
Blizzard likes to make it right.
Yeah,
I don't play anything really, Blizzard because I know they'll just suck me in and make me pay a monthly
fee. Diablo, stuff like that.
I don't know what's the deal with it.
That's why I stick with PlayStation 3, man.
Yeah.
Skyrim has a thing where you have to get a Steam account.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a computer, so you have to buy a Steam account, which is, you know, $30. I don't know how much it is.
Like, it's Valve, right? I think the same guys who make Half-Life.
Yeah. But you have to pay monthly to play their game. I hate that. I don't know if it's the same on PS3 to play online, but I know Xbox, you have to pay a monthly fee to have their online subscription, but PlayStation, you don't.
I mean, Battle.net does not have to do it for StarCraft. I'm not
so
Warcraft.
It's free for StarCraft?
Well, yeah, Battle.net, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have your same ID.
Yeah, you just buy the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we don't have monthly fees to pay StarCraft because it's mainly online. I mean, they have the first person mission, but you can beat that shit in 3 days.
What do you do? Ladder? Do you fight against?
Yeah, ladder. It's like buying. It's due to a lot of one on ones, but I'll usually get my ass kicked because I'm horrible. But I play a lot of team games, like 3-on-3, 4-on-4. It's a little bit nice. Like if you suck, if your guy gets, you still get the win. But it's fun. It's a lot of strategy. It's like playing chess, but it's good animations. It's like Space Marines versus like. Religious aliens versus like a swarm, like remember you guys Starship Troopers, like those kind of alien bugs.
That's what it kind of looks like.
It's pretty fucking sweet. And the thing is, when I have to like if I'm just chilling, like or I'm gonna go to sleep, I put on a